Well, good morning again, everyone. The scripture reading that Mark did in the title of my sermon, Have Miracles Ceased? You know, there are some denominations still out there today that teach the continuation of miracles. And after the White sermon last week, he talked about the Holy Spirit. He also talked a little bit about miracles. And it got me thinking a little bit about, what I should select for a topic. But I've done some research this past week about miracles. And, you know, the miracles, the proofs that are offered about miracles, when you hear about a miracle, a lot of the time they're based on emotional feelings. Like, if the person in the world sees something occur and they're, lack of a better term, excited about it, hyped up about it, that's an emotional state that they're involved in at that particular time. And not only the emotional feelings, but also the indirect evidence. For example, maybe you didn't witness this so-called miracle, but I know a person who heard a person claim that they saw this or they saw that. Well, the standard reaction when a person hears someone witnessing a miracle is to think that that person is right. They saw this. They witnessed this. This is a miracle. Because if you would oppose that and not agree with them, basically you're calling that person a liar. No, that did not happen. It did not happen at all. And many of our problems in what we do, or what do we mean by a miracle? And the dictionary that I used defined a miracle as any occurrence that cannot be explained by the laws of nature. Otherwise known, it could be known also as a marvel. Now, to me, folks, miracles are completely different than blessings. All of us, everyone in this room, are blessed. And you might say to yourself, well, how, Dennis? But you know, I mean, you're here. You had the blessings of waking up, being able to get out of bed and to attend services this morning. You had reliable transportation to get you from point A to point B. Those are blessings, and we all have many, many blessings to be thankful for. When you just stop and realize and think about it, there's so much that happens on a day-to-day basis that we take for granted that maybe we really shouldn't. You know, that leads me into the title of today's sermon, Have Miracles Ceased? Well, a miracle is just not an unusual event. You know, I'm going to use an example. Say that I'd be running as mayor for the city of Des Moines. I have no hope of winning because, first of all, I don't live in Des Moines. Second of all, I don't want to know about any political going-ons in the Des Moines area, if I can help it. But suddenly, I find myself in office. Now, is that a miracle? A guy from Grinnell is suddenly the mayor of Des Moines, Iowa? Well, this is not a miracle in the biblical sense of the word. You know, and also, a miracle is not just an awe-aspiring national event, natural event. For example, we've all probably seen on TV or read in newspapers about this volcano's been idle for years and years and years and years, and all of a sudden, after 500, 1,000 years, whatever, it erupts. Is that a miracle? I would call that a wonder. Because in the biblical sense, a miracle is a sudden interruption of a natural event. Now, I can think of two examples that come to mind when we're talking about this. And once again, we all have blessings, but I feel that blessings are completely different than miracles. Because this sudden interruption of a natural event that I'm thinking of occurred in John chapter 9. And we're talking about the blind man. Okay? We're not going to read all of that right now, but that's food for thought. You can read it, you know, at your leisure or whatever. But the healing of the blind man in John 9 had three things that happened there that caused that to be a miracle. First of all, that was not a normal occurrence. The man had been blind since birth. Another thing is that he had immediate results. I mean, the Lord cured him of his blindness. I mean, it happened, boom, just like that. For a gentleman that's been blind all of his life. And the thing that gets me the most, I guess, is that there was no recovery time. It was instantaneous. It happened like now. And we've all had broken bones or some sort of surgery where you have that done, you break a leg, you break an arm, it's not instantaneous, the healing process. It takes a while for you to recover. You know, you put on the cast, you have the boot, you put in a splint, whatever the case may be. But it's not instantaneous, and it does have recovery time, whereas the miracle, no recovery time. The other example that I can think of is in Matthew 12. And once again, we're not going to read from that one at this particular time, but you can put that in your memory banks to check that out when you get home. Matthew 12, this is the man with the withered hand. This hand had been withered for years and years and years and years. Very similar to the blind man. You know, this miracle was not a normal occurrence. Once again, the man with the withered hand, immediate results. It wasn't like they said, okay, you do this for 2 weeks, you come back and see me, and we'll see what kind of progress you've been making. It was immediate. And once again, no recovery time. I mean, you just stop and think about that. People that have this day and age, sure, they'll heal. They have the blessings on them. But a miracle, there was no instantaneous fix on this. Let's go to the book of Hebrews. And we're going to look at some Bible words here. Hebrews, this will be chapter 2 and verse number 4. It says here that God also testifying with them, both by signs and wonders, and by various miracles, and by gifts of the Holy Spirit according to his own will. The words I want to point out are the words signs. What's the signs? Well, according to the Bible, A sign is a mark signifying or certifying as being from God. The next word I want to look at is wonders. What is a wonder? A wonder is an omen or an event designed to attract attention. And then we find that other word talks about miracles. What's the definition of a miracle? According to my resources, it says a force that makes both the signs and the wonders happen. That is a miracle that makes both the signs and the wonders happen. Then it talks about the gifts of the Holy Spirit. That's who was behind the miracles, causing them to happen. The Holy Spirit. Like I said, last week, Dwight preached his sermon on the Holy Spirit. He was behind those miracles. You know, it says right in the Bible, for many reasons, the Bible indicates that miracles have ceased. I'm not talking about blessings. I'm talking about miracles. Number one, the purpose for miracles has ended. You know, the recording of miracles were first caused for people to believe in Christ. Let's go with John, the 20th chapter. Okay, John chapter 20. I'm going to start at verse number 30. And it talks about these recordings. Because it says here that therefore many other signs of Jesus also performed in the presence of the disciples, which are not written in this book. But these have been written so that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing you may have life in his name. But just because I say that, or we read that, how do we know that the apostles and the other people at that time taught the truth? How do we know that? Let's turn over to Hebrews chapter 2. Hebrews chapter 2, and beginning at verse number 1. It says, for this reason, we must pay much closer attention to what we have heard so that we do not drift away from it. For if the word spoken through the angels proved unalterable, and every transgression and disobedience received a just penalty, how will we escape if we neglect so great a salvation? After it was at first spoken through the Lord, it was confirmed to us by those who heard it. God also testifying with them, both by signs and wonders, and by various miracles, and by gifts of the Holy Spirit, according to his own will. The miracles showed that the apostles were from God and were teaching the truth. And then their words were confirmed by the signs. Let's now go to Mark chapter 16. In verse number 20. It says there that, and they went out, and they preached everywhere, while the Lord worked with them, and confirmed the word by the signs that followed. Their words were confirmed by the signs. Because folks, when you prove something, as Mark indicated in our scripture reading this morning, when you prove something, you only need it once. Case in point that probably all of us can relate to, I'm guilty of this. You got something baking in the oven at 350 degrees or 400 degrees. It's done and you reach in. Yeah, that's going to be hot. You forgot the mitt. You just reach in for it. And it's hot. Do you need to have that, do that to yourself over and over and over again, knowing that, hey, when that oven says 350 degrees, I know what's inside is going to be hot. Or something that, you know, if you've known in the wintertime that it's cold outside. You going to stick your tongue on the flagpole more than once? I would say probably not. The proof is only needed one time. Sometimes they say you learn from your mistakes, but the proof is only needed one time. You know, another reason the Bible indicates that miracles have ceased, the need for miracles has ended. The purpose of miracles has ended, the need for miracles has ended. Let's go to John 14. And verse 26. John 14, verse 26 says, "But the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all that I have said to you." The Holy Spirit, he was sent to teach and to remind the apostles. It says it right here. But you know what? The apostles, they were not ready to understand every Sunday. So once again, the Holy Spirit was sent to teach them. Let's go over now to John 16 and verse 12. And it says here, "I have many more things to say to you, but you cannot bear them now. But when he, the Spirit of truth, comes, he will guide you into all the truth. For he will not speak on his own initiative, but whatever he hears, he will speak, and he will disclose to you what is to come." Just like I said before, the apostles, they were not ready to understand everything. So the Holy Spirit was sent to teach them. And then what the apostles did, the apostles, they wrote down the teachings. And the reason that they did that, it's to help us to remember. Let's go to 2 Peter. 2 Peter, verse 1. Excuse me, 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 12. Sorry. 2 Peter 1, beginning of verse number 12, it reads, "Therefore, I will always be ready to remind you of these things, even though you already know them and have been established in the truth which is present with you. I consider it right, as long as I am in this earthly dwelling, to stir you up by way of reminder, knowing that the laying aside of my earthly dwelling is imminent, as also our Lord Jesus Christ has made clear to me. And I will also be diligent that at any time after my departure, you will be able to call these things to mind." They wrote them down for us to remember. It wasn't just word of mouth. It was in print. They wrote it down. Because, once again, Once that they were written down, miraculous reminders of the past were no longer needed. We have the proof. It's here in the Bible. Another reason the Bible indicates that miracles have ceased, the means of being allowed to perform miracles has ended. Probably all of us wish we had the power, the ability to do miracles every now and then, but that's ended. Mark 16. Turn with me there. Mark 16, this time we're starting at verse number 14. Mark 16, beginning at verse number 14. It says that afterward he appeared to the 11 themselves as they were reclining at the table. And he reproached them for their unbelief and hardness of heart, because they had not believed those who had seen him after he had risen. And he said to them, "Go into all the world and preach the gospel to all creation. He who has believed and has been baptized shall be saved, but he who has disbelieved shall be condemned. These signs will accompany those who have believed. In my name they will cast out demons. They will speak with new tongues. They will pick up serpents, and if they drink any deadly poison, it will not hurt them. They will lay hands on the sick, and they will recover." So then, when the Lord Jesus has spoken to them, he was received up into heaven and set down at the right hand of God. And they went out and preached everywhere, while the Lord worked with them and confirmed the word by the signs that followed. The apostles, not all the believers, were told that they could work miracles. It was the apostles. It was passed on to some believers by the apostles when he talked about the laying of hands. Let's go to Acts chapter 8. Acts 8. We'll start at verse 18. Now when Simon saw that the Spirit was bestowed through the laying on of the apostles' hands, he offered them money, saying, "Give this authority to me as well, so that everyone on whom I lay my hands may receive the Holy Spirit." It didn't work like that. As I said earlier, the apostles were the ones that were told that they could work the miracles, because only the apostles could pass on that gift. You know, Paul plainly states that miracles would cease. He says that in 1 Corinthians chapter 13. Beginning at verse number 8. It says that love never fails, but if there are gifts of prophecy, they will be done away. If there are tongues, they will cease. If there is knowledge, it will be done away. For we know in part, and we prophesize in part. But when the perfect comes, the partial will be done away. When I was a child, I used to speak like a child, think like a child, reason like a child. When I became a man, I did away with the childish things. For now we see in a mirror dimly, but then face to face, now I know in part. But then I will know fully, just as I also have been fully known. But now faith, hope, love abide these three, but the greatest of these is love. That's Paul. He's plainly stating that miracles would cease. You know, the New Testament that we learn from is the perfect law. James chapter 1 and verse 25. It says, but one who looks intently at the perfect law, the law of liberty, and abides by it, not having become a forgetful hearer, but an effective doer, this man will be blessed in what he does. It is the perfect law. The New Testament. Because that word perfect, that follows the follower. 2 Timothy and verse 3. Chapter 3, sorry. 2 Timothy. This is chapter 3 and at verse 16. It says that all scripture is inspired by God and profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, for training in righteousness, so that the man of God may be adequate, equipped for every good work. It's right there, folks. All we have to do is follow it. It is there. So the reason the Bible indicates that miracles have ceased, the purpose for miracles has ended, the need for miracles has ended. The means of being allowed to perform miracles has ended. Because there is no evidence that miraculous gifts continue today. Don't get me wrong, because I said in the beginning, there are difference between blessings and a marvel and a miracle. We all have blessings. There's no solid proof that miraculous gifts continue today. Because when Jesus and the apostles did a miracle, it was obvious to all. It did not require belief in the observers. It often caused them to believe. One more scripture reading and the lesson will be yours. Let's go to Acts. Chapter 13. Acts 13. We're going to be starting at verse number 9. It says here, but Saul, who was also known as Paul, filled with the Holy Spirit, fixed his gaze on him and said, you who are full of all deceit and fraud, you son of the devil, you enemy of all righteousness, will you not cease to make crooked the straight ways of the Lord? Now behold, the hand of the Lord is upon you. You will be blind and not see the sun for a time. And immediately a mist and a darkness fell upon him. And he went about seeking those who would lead him by the hand. Then the proconsul believed when he saw what had happened, being amazed at the teaching of the Lord. Miracles. I believe they have ceased. Blessings. We have abundance. But what we need to do, folks, is, as the words of the Bible indicate, we need to hear the Jesus. We need to believe that Jesus is the Son of God. We need to repent of those sins, each and every one of them. We need to confess Jesus and we need to be baptized, fully immersed in water for the remission of our sins. And we need to be faithful always. You know, if there are those present today that are not a Christian and would like to become one, everything is ready for you. Or if there are those who are in need of our prayers or to make themselves right with God, we ask that you please come forward as we sing the song of invitation that the wise has selected.